In this episode of She Talks Tech, Julia Streets speaks to Mitra Rocknavardi, the VP and Global Head of Marketing at OpenFin, the operating system for finance. Mitra shares her journey from luxury retail into the fintech industry, as well as insights from Open's US and UK research about why employees are leaving organisations that are not investing in software applications. She also explains how OpenFin is supporting corporate transformation at scale.
So hello everybody and a very warm welcome to In The Lounge. I am in the lounge with Mitra Rocknavardi, who is the Vice President and Global Head of Marketing at OpenFin. Mitra, how are you?
I'm very good, Julia. How are you?
Do you know, I'm really well. I've been so looking forward to this conversation because I have so many discussions and platforms and conferences and with organizations right the way across financial services about this fundamental challenge about how do we transform at scale. And this is something that I know that you are particularly working on and helping clients with. But before we get into that, I just wanted to just share with the audience a little bit about Mitra. So as I said, Vice President and Global Head of Marketing at OpenFin. And OpenFin is the financial industry's operating system. And I gather you're responsible for, it's quite a wide range actually, OpenFin's branding, marketing, events and media relations, but particularly with a focus on the developer community and the industry community that you've been building out as well. To bring that to life a little more, back in 2016, Mitra led the company's launch of what's called FinJS, which is a series of events for technologists and business heads with thousands of professionals. And it's not just in one city, New York, which I think is where you are right now, if that's correct, but also London, Chicago, Toronto, Stockholm, and Amsterdam. So to the global audience who are tuned in, I think this is going to be a really interesting conversation. But Mitra, can I just start off with, before we get into all the tech conversation and the trends and all that stuff, I mean, how did you get into this role? Was this a journey that you had plans to be at this position, or did it happen by accident? Tell us a bit about your career journey.
Yeah, that's a interesting one, actually, because my background is neither in finance or tech. I worked for a fashion house and I did product placement and merchandising, and I had a lot of fun doing it. I was in there all the way through about 2007, right when e-commerce was really taking off. So tech became a really big focus, even though it was foreign, because you're like, you want to go into the store and, you know, do the window shopping. And 80% of cosmetic purchases in particular were impulse purchases. So how do you take that online? Funnily enough, the fashion house that I worked for then, till this day, still doesn't have its own e-commerce platform. They believe in that in-person experience, which is great. But I was like, this is the future. I got to go. And slowly but surely, I started interviewing and I moved from California to New York because I thought that was the tech hub of the US. And when I got to New York, I had a handful of people that I knew, one of which was Mozzie. And I said, hey, I'm here. I'm you know, working outside of tech, but I'm really curious. What do I do? And so he sent me a list of a bunch of tech meetups that were super hot back then. And he said, this is what you do. You go to these tech meetups and, you know, maybe you have a startup or an idea and you write a deck and you start pitching. Sure enough, that's what I did. I started a little startup and I met a few different people, and Chuck and Mozzie at the time were also, you know, starting their journey with OpenFin. So there was an accelerator and I started at the startup with somebody else. We got into the same accelerator program with OpenFin, but as one would know who's done startups, you can do a startup, but you also need to work. And so I figured, hey, you know, I started kind of nudging a few people, including Chuck and Mozzie, can I help with anything? And even though I knew like nothing, they're like, we're building this, you know, they were explaining it to me and I'm like, HTML5, what? Can I do anything? And so I started off, you know, doing some projects for them, and never in a billion years did I think I'd be here today, like 10, 12 years later. Long story short, I started off, you know, just doing anything and everything around whatever needs they had. And my startup was a fun journey, but it didn't make it all the way through. However, I continued to work with Chuck and Mozzie and stayed along for the journey. And I have to say, sometimes I look at them, I'm like, how did you trust me with any of this? Because I genuinely had no idea, but I knew it was important because of how they, you know, the immediate attention that they got, even though it was so complex, I understood that, yes, the web is important. That's where we need to go. And I couldn't believe how behind the banks were, or I guess like how much that needed to be done. So did I think I would be here? No, but I couldn't be happier. I would have to say it's been definitely one of the most exciting decade for me.
And it's been really interesting, isn't it? Because then you talk about, you know, your journey as a founder yourself, and then meeting the two co-founders, Marzi Dar and Chok Dor, who are the co-founders of OpenFin. And then I imagine a lot of that experience and also your retail experience brings another dynamic, another dimension to helping financial institutions with their digital transformation, which is really what this is about. And so tell us a bit more about what OpenFin does and how it enables this incredible change that you could see the vision. How does OpenFin do that?
The one thing I always like to say is that there's actually nothing financial about what we deliver, right? It's a technology that enables developers to do really innovative things on OpenFin. So OpenFin started as a, you know, tech first company. We were an invisible engine, similar to an iOS or Android. It's a common layer. People build their apps on it, deploy it. It's on the web. And over the last couple of years, we've moved towards being a more product-led company. So it was invisible. We relied on our partners and customers to build great things and then showcase them and showcase at least the features and capabilities of OpenFin. Over the last couple of years, we now have an identity on the desktop as well, which means that we have an interface and end users actually get to interact with OpenFin. So they actually see the product. That was actually also a very interesting transition within my journey, right? Because a lot of it was building a brand, and now we're building a brand against the product as well. So today I like to call it as a productivity platform. So it enables productivity across the desktop, across the organization. It brings the organization together and it creates this unified but consistent user experience so that, you know, when an employee moves from one part of the business to another, they don't have to relearn every skill and a new platform. It's familiar. It's just, you know, they kind of can move along without having to completely be siloed from how the organization comes together from a utility perspective.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, during the lockdown and the transformation, you know, when you think about for the world of financial services, and there are probably people who are having to log in from home, and now we're in this hybrid world of people having to log in one day from home, having those consistent steps that you talk about, the consistent step up, sort of login, essentially the moment you arrive at work, must be incredibly important.
Well, it is very important, but you also have to think about, you know, the very low tolerance that we have in our personal lives around like bad tech, right? You have your phone and you have a very like high expectation of how it serves you. Also, the apps all look the same. At least they have, you know, the same frame, the buttons. They all are built in a way where I can download a random app that you may recommend to me, but I have like 75% of the way of using the app down, right? I'm not moving between different types of interface and different way of downloading it. I find it in the same place and it delivers a very consistent experience for me. So if a developer decided to get super creative, you know, I may not be using that app. And also developers take feedback from the end user. So if you look at the ratings, right, you're always looking for like the app that has the highest rating, and developers take that rating really serious and they improve upon that really quickly. But what we realized with the financial industry is that, okay, fine, you have end users who are giving you feedback, but if it's a native application sitting on the desktop, you can be making all the improvements. If you can't get, you know, the updated version into the hands of your developers instantly, well, that's another blocker. So OpenFin solves a bunch of problems along the way, right? It doesn't just solve the digital transformation, modernization, optimization problem. That's great. But it also has the, you know, it allows your developers to be agile. It allows you as a business to put the, you know, the latest and greatest enhancements, features, new products in the hands of the end user instantly, because it's all web-based. But it also gives you the ability to unify the experience across your entire organization and not just the sales group or HR or wherever this person may sit. So I think it's a holistic approach at solving a, you know, not a single problem, but a top-down, bottom-up issue.
And this is really important because certainly when you think about the world of technological change, it does happen at both levels, doesn't it? On the business side, people go, how do we create product faster? How do we get product to market? How do we do more? All the developers want to do more. At the high level, the questions tend to be much more around governance, security, and then obviously competing and all those sort of things. But actually, more and more people are talking about we need to make these changes, but at huge scale.
And we don't need to make the changes, you know, one for one. And that's where I would say, you know, we also very much emphasize and prioritize open source and standards, right? Where we wanted to make sure that we're not repeating, you know, going to every client and they're doing this and they're doing that. And we did see some of those trends. But once you see a trend across the board and it's consistent, you bring all the stakeholders to the table and you say, can we agree on some of these standards? So FTC3 is a great example of that, right? You have a channel linking, which you would need within the clients that we're served, right? Traders, multi-desktop environments, multiple applications. They're doing very intricate work, but they need to be more efficient. So instead of keying everything in multiple times, they now have a standard that they can use with FTC3 where they can channel link some certain apps. They can create workspaces around that, context sharing. So things like that, I think, are a community, an effort that we can solve on our own and no institution can solve independently. So another part of our journey was to be an anchor for the ecosystem, gather all the feedback, and then deliver a solution that could serve us all to be more efficient and innovative at speed, mm-hmm. and then also future-proof, right?
Yeah, amazing. And if I've understood this correctly, that FTC3 was created by OpenFin, but then you gave it to the industry to create some distance to go, that is the open source that works for the industry.
Yep, that's exactly it. You know, it belongs to the industry. It needs to be further developed by the industry, and no one party can own that. It needs to be a collaborative effort, and that's the only way you can achieve that when you put it into the ether and let the community come together around it. And they really have. I'm incredibly proud, but also impressed at how FTC3 in general has anchored itself to be the place where everybody comes together and will share exactly what they're solving for. And you know that banks are not the most open in open forums, and FTC3 has been a great place for the industry to really share some of really big challenges that they're solving for. And so I hope to see a lot more of that, but yeah.
It's impressive, isn't it? So listen, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, actually, so I saw some research you put out recently. It sort of surprised me in a way, because it was talking more about employee satisfaction, which you wouldn't necessarily expect a technology business to be talking about. There was a survey of 3,000 office workers, half in the US, half in the UK, that was thinking about whether they would leave to a different job if the new employer provided better apps or software systems for our employees, which I kind of get why you'd want to talk about that. But then it goes on to talk about training as well. And I'm just intrigued to know why this matters to you. And also, presumably, that's something that your clients are talking to you about.
So first, I agree with you. First, I was like, okay, employee experience, employee satisfaction. Obviously, a lot of it was triggered by the pandemic. And, you know, at first I was like, well, people are leaving their jobs not because they're not happy, but it's because they now have an opportunity to perhaps work for a firm that they couldn't naturally work at because of where they lived and where the firm was based. And so that was my thinking around this. And little by little, I did start to realize that, no, actually, it's because people were fed up, but they didn't have the flexibility to move on. And now they have. And when you speak to them, which we did, because we're like, okay, well, what is it? It's all about the tools and training and the opportunities that they're given to excel in their career. And so it further validated a lot of what we're doing, right? A user-centric approach to enable the end user, to enable the developer to do exactly what they're meant to do. Now, you can ship all the software in the world to the hands of the end user, but if they don't know how to use it, and even more so complex, if every last app is, you know, has its own way of being used, there's no training that goes along with it, then it's frustrating for the end user. And it's, I would say, a big waste of money for the business who's shipping it, because you can see statistics on how apps are being used. And naturally, apps that have the training behind them will have much higher user rating than an app that's just appears on your desktop, but is just too hard to use or doesn't, you know, integrate with your systems. And, you know, people find employees are too smart nowadays, right? They're like, hey, we're low tolerance. We're not going to deal with it. Workarounds. And, you know, so they'll start ditching the app. So building is one thing, modernizing is the other, but training and unifying is, I think, key here.
Mm-hmm. Because actually in the context of what makes, well, why all this stuff matters, I mean, part of it's the great resignation. You know, I got some numbers here that's, you know, 4.5 million people left their position in the US. This was hit record highs in November last year. I mean, that's an enormous change where people are leaving. So part of the satisfaction is also how, not only which organization you work with and how much training and application, the software, the applications and the training and support you get, but it's also about kind of how you work and the places where we work and how, you know, this hybrid sort of model.
Well, you don't just want to work. You want to be engaged, right? So people are leaving. So bad software is definitely key. And that's what we care about. We you know, our survey very much focused on that. But there is an element of, you know, employee happiness, building products with your employees, for your employees, right? Getting their feedback on design, getting their feedback on features and enhancements, really letting them be, you know, your research. You know, I think there was a lot of that. People are working at firms, they're highly invested, they're very, you know, passionate, but they're not being heard. So that's definitely a huge chunk of that, you know, 4.9 million number. I think beyond that, it's mental health and taking things into consideration beyond just the work that needs to get done. How do we actually support our workforce to be happy and to be, you know, in a good place to execute on all the things that we're asking them to do?
And, you know, I was talking earlier about, you know, the context and the, well, it is the context of scale. It's a scale about these huge or global financial organizations having to transform at scale, you know, like kind of 60,000 seat transformation projects, you know, right the way across the organization you were talking about before. But also a really key part of this, that success is the happiness of the employee who is sitting either at home or at work or remotely or indeed moving all the time and how they engage. It's really, really interesting.
And that has completely shifted, right? We used to go to work. And now we're doing work, right? From anywhere. So it changes everything. Yeah. And you don't have like, I mean, we're not all, you know, able to have, I used to have two big screens. Now I'm down to two, but one small one, my laptop and my desktop screen. You need to be flexible in that sense.
Okay. So listen, it's fascinating to hear because obviously these are the big trends that clients are talking to you about and the demand that they're calling upon you for as well. I'd love to just, we've got a few minutes left, but I just wanted to explore one thing that I know you take very, very seriously at OpenFin, which is the conversation about diversity, equity and inclusion. And I'd love to ask you one very quick question, which is how do you, I mean, obviously you're a great champion of this because you've been involved with the One Tech World and then the awards and the Rising Stars and the Tech Women Awards and that sort of thing. But how do you encourage male allies within the organization to step up and be part of this? You talked about how Mazi and Chuck, the co-founders of OpenFin, were very supportive about you. How do you get other men to step up as male allies?
I think definitely making this an active and open conversation. I have to say people aren't, even though, I mean, we've, as an industry, as like across the globe, I've been very proud, but also touched by how important this has become, right? Over the last 5 or 6 years, you see this, you know, nobody is willing to overlook this. And before it was, you know, it could have been a side conversation, but now it's front and center. But even though it is, when you're head down working, And especially when you're remote, you don't look around the room anymore and realize that, you know, there's more male than women in my office. You don't know when you're remote. So a few things that we do at OpenFin during all hands, cameras always on so you can see who's in the room, right? Because you like that really encourages you to be like, whoa. And now we always say, you know, we're like, wow, there's a whole first page of just women. We're always on time. So we take on the first page. But no, seriously, like it's encouraging people to look around the room. It's encouraging people to meet their teammates, encouraging our workforce to go and interact with, you know, teams or folks outside of their group so that they can really digest the landscape that they're operating in. And then also, I have been at the receiving end of like a lot of support, being able to speak, share my opinion, pushing the envelope, not just, you know, following anyone, but I've always been encouraged to bring something to the table. And I think I have to just say, like at OpenFin, every last person I've worked with over the last 10 years has been highly supportive, but also very, very, very aware of the lack of women within our space, within tech and finance. And you bring those two together even more so. How do we encourage them? You know, whether you're remote or not, look around the room and find how you can encourage more women to come in and speak. So having them join different groups. We have a few groups that we're running right now that are helping us change that, at least within OpenFin.
Thank you so much, Mitra, for being on this episode of She Talks Tech. And thank you to all of you for listening. We really appreciate it. If you want to find out more about Mitra and OpenFin, you can find them on LinkedIn. Please subscribe and rate this podcast and give it that all-important 5-star review. And keep listening every Wednesday morning for a new episode of She Talks Tech from We Are Tech Women.